Welcome back to the Matter of Facts podcast on the Prepper Broadcasting Network. We talk prepping, guns, and politics every week on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. Go check out our content at mofpodcast.com on Facebook or Instagram. You can support us via Patreon or by checking out our affiliate partners. I'm your host, Phil Rabley, and my co-host, Andrew Bobo, is on the other side of the mic, and here's your show. And welcome back to Matter of Facts podcast. Me and my faithful co-host are back in the audience. It's literally like, what, a day or two after my wife and I recorded? But that's the miracle of podcasting, is that y'all will hear this 6 days later. So anyway, so hi, Andrew.
Hi.
Do we have any gesticulating or admin work to do before we get straight to topics? I mean, you know, prepper camp's coming up in September. If I have to say that one more time, I'll literally start screaming.
Well, you should, because we should probably say it every episode. Prepper camp is coming up in September. If you haven't bought your tickets, you should buy tickets. If you have not gotten your campsite, I mean, good luck. I mean, they do have Tent City, which usually there might be a couple spots available. I'm going to be down there early. I plan on being down in North Carolina that Tuesday. So I know prepper camp, usually we aim to get down there on a Thursday. Prepper camp is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm going to try to get down there. My plan is to get down there Tuesday. I actually reserved the same camping spot that you and I will be on anyway. So I reserved that for Tuesday and Wednesday. So I don't have to move at all. So yeah, the plan is just to go down there. And honestly, I'll talk to, Chin and, Rick and Jane, and see if I can't jump in and help set up if they need it. Otherwise, I think I might just kind of tour the city, or the little town rather, that we always drive through and then drive out of and never stop and see it. So I think I might go through it and just check it out. And then I got to look at my schedule again, but I think I might try to leave a day Monday early. I think I'm gonna try to make plans with Franklin Horton, to see if I can't link up with him a day. So prepper camp. If you're going, let us know if you're going. It'll be awesome to see some people. And just to line some stuff up, I need to actually buy some. There's a couple things I want to buy, because I want to try to interview some more people. One of the Zoom things I want to buy will make it a lot easier to record, just kind of like, hey, here you go, instead of having a whole microphone set up and all kinds of stuff. So if you're going, cool, let us know. Otherwise, same shenanigans as usual. I think we will be down on the floor again in a booth, talking on mics, trying to line up some shows. Phil is going to do some roasting demos, and Gillian is going to be there being the model. She's going to be our Vanna White that'll stand there and get people to come want to talk to us, since there's a nice looking person that is friendly looking that is standing there. So, but I'm looking forward to it. Oh, I always look forward to it. It's going to be fun. So,
yeah. I mean, I would love to get there a little bit earlier, stay a little bit late, but you know, I always have to be cognizant of like how much time that I'm taking Piper and Gillian out of school, because she's only got so many days off a year.
That's the perks of me not having a single person to care about besides myself.
You don't care about me?
So, I mean, well, you're driving there anyway.
So nice save, Andrew. Nice save. So, I guess let me detour very slightly before we spend like 55 minutes talking about current events. A couple of weeks ago, I picked up a book, and I haven't been on a real big kick as far as reading for a while, and definitely not fiction. I just haven't been able to find it in me to read fiction. But I came across The Guerrilla's Guide to the Baofeng Radio by NC Scout. And if anybody doesn't know who NC Scout is, y'all should probably like look into him. Cool dude, a lot of fun, very, very, very knowledgeable in a great many things that might be you know, interesting to the preparedness community. But this book that is available on Amazon, and we have an affiliate link down in the show comments if you'd like to throw us a buck while you check out a cool book. I started reading this last night, and I stayed up till like 12:30 in the morning reading it. I could not stop. It's like I was telling Andrew, like, admittedly, in the recent history, I've kind of dove headfirst into communications and the world of the radio dorks, and this showed up on my, this actually was recommended to me by somebody else, and I wasn't sure what I was getting into. I'll be honest, I went into this kind of reticent about it because I know this book is very heavily centered around like the Baofeng UB5R, which is an amateur band or a ham radio, and I've kind of waved off of ham mostly because if I can't get my wife and my daughter set up to talk on it, it doesn't do me a ton of good. So I've gone for GMRS instead. But the more I read into this book, the more I started to realize that what NC Scout has put together is much more than a user guide for the UV5R. He discusses different pockets of information like signal intelligence and communication security and how to do voice encryption, like not the thousands of dollars military digital encryption, but literally like how to code your messages in such a way that it's not super obvious they are coded. He talks about a lot of the principles of like how we communicate in the military. And admittedly, I wasn't a radio guy in the Army, but I had to know enough of how to operate them to get by. And this book is just layers upon layers upon layers of really good information for a person who wants to communicate on a radio while simultaneously accepting the fact that when you hit that push to talk button, somebody can be listening. So this is kind of a good primer for how to use a radio, limit your exposure, and limit how much information you could be giving away to people you don't want to have it. And that's way more than a preparedness topic. That is a, if you and your wife and your kids are at a campsite and that you hand them the little bitty bubble pack radios, that's a good topic to kind of get yourself thinking about. How do my kids talk on these things where they don't tell people who might be listening specifically where they're going, the fact that I don't have an adult with me, and things that we may just not want random people to know? I mean, you know, we have discussions all the time with our daughter about being careful what she tells people, and stranger danger and all those things. But people don't think about it when they hit that button on the side of the radio. Everybody's listening because it's an open air band. So I thought it was a really good book. I thought it was very thought provoking. And when you get into the more nerdy aspects of the book, like towards the back half of it, he talks a lot about how to program a UV5R, and that's not, I mean, most of those concepts are fairly standard across all radios, if not exactly the menu options. Spends a couple chapters talking about how to build your own antennas from just stuff you find lying around, which I personally found super interesting. I mean, he gives you the math and the theory and everything right there. It's just, it's a 150-page book that you can seriously sit down and slam in an afternoon. And it was way more than I thought it was going to be. So I'm giving it my seal of approval. I'm recommending it. Like, unless you're the person whose eyes glaze over when people start talking about radios, then this may not be for you. But if you ever intend to pick up a radio and speak into it, I think it's worth reading. And let's be really serious, you know, everybody has a radio in their pocket. It's called a cell phone, and those things, as we're going to talk about here in just a little bit, but those things are not the hardest things to spy on, so you might want to take some of this information to heart as far as how do I communicate on this thing knowing other people are listening. You know what I mean, bub?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I mean, yeah, if any kind of situation, you got to think people are listening, just like when you're on your phone, so... which will kind of segue into our next topic.
House goes full retard.
Yeah. So basically Friday, I think it was, they voted to renew the FISA the spy program, and there was an amendment in there to require warrants for American people. They wanted warrants for the American population, and it went down basically party line, and our House representative, or, well, the Speaker, rather, you know, since he gets to vote on ties, he actually voted basically with the Democrats. So now the big old government that we, you know, trust and love and expect us to protect us, they do not need a warrant to spy on American citizens, which is concerning. I mean, you know, everybody's, you know, especially with everything going on with Iran, the terrorism, the open borders that, you know, our awesome administration has given us. They are using every means necessary to completely destroy what is left of anything of the Constitution. And so, yeah, so again, this is, this goes right back to what we were just talking about. I mean, anybody can be listening. So, if you have the ability, if you know, if you have the knowledge or anything to, if you can encrypt any of your text messages, if you can work on encrypting, your voice, the phone calls, anything you can do to encrypt your day-to-day operations, honestly, research it, look into it, and apply it, because it's up to us to take our own safety in our own hands, and our government, obviously, they don't give a crap about the average American unless you're voting for them, unless you're a Democrat or really Republican and you're voting for them. They don't care about you. They want you in chains, and yeah, it's bad. They don't care. So whatever we can do to better, basically help, get us away, and, you know, I don't know. I have no idea. It's frustrating, that this went through. It's frustrating that, this even got passed, and it's frustrating that it was even a thing that need to be done, because you think that it's just common knowledge, but here we are with even less of our Constitution that we had. So it's just another chip away. So
it's frustrating, but is it that surprising?
No, it's not surprising at all, but it's frustrating because it shouldn't be a thing. Like, it literally should not be a thing that we think about. And, you know, it's just like our gun rights. Every single year, I mean, every day, we have a anti-gun group that chips away at our gun rights every single day. Our Constitution has every single day, our Constitution has been chipped away, every part of it. I know we did a show a long time ago on Bill of Rights and all kinds of stuff. And,
we did a couple of shows on the Bill of Rights, honestly. I mean, that's right. Been shed over a couple of months.
Right, but if you look at it, if you look at the constitutional amendments, not just Bill of Rights, but just go down all the amendments, every single one of them have been broken, have been over, like, basically the government has stomped on them completely, heel, toe, boot to the neck. Like, they have completely destroyed the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just one more, like, this is a brick on top of more bricks that they're laying down. So, if you voted for this, or if you like this, then you know what? I could care less if you get robbed at gunpoint in your house. You deserve everything that bad happens to you. You deserve it. So I hope the worst things happen to you if you voted for this.
I think the part of this that makes me want to rub my temples is the fact that, like, you know, anybody that's passed high school civics understands that the Fourth Amendment is a thing, and that police officers have to get a warrant if they want to, you know, tap your cell phones or, and, you know, come into your house and they want to search. And I mean, yes, there's exigent circumstances, but exigent circumstances is not a blank check to just stomp on your Fourth Amendment rights and do whatever the hell they want. Like, there are rules here, and I don't, more often than I'd like to see those rules kind of get, you know, fudged a little bit, but this isn't even fudging the rules. This is a frickin' honeypot. And Congress has told the FBI, you can dip your hands into the honeypot like you are Winnie the mother effing Pooh anytime it suits you. And the part of this that frustrates me, Andrew, is I just wish that the American people, that every person had the right, had the ability to spy on Congress people the way that they have authorized federal law enforcement to spy on us. I wish like hell we could see where they are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, who they're talking to, what they're saying. I wish they had no privacy in their own homes, in their own bedrooms, with whoever they are sleeping with. I wish that they knew the full weight of what they have unleashed on the American people. And I don't think they will, because our government officials are phenomenally good at shielding themselves from the consequences of the very things that they visit upon us. You brought up gun control earlier. They love to friggin' limit our right, our Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, while at the same moment, they are protected by armed security paid for by our tax dollars. And it's that little, it's that thing over and over and over I keep seeing where they set themselves up in an ivory tower where they have rights, they are protected, they are taken care of, and then they pee into our faces and tell us it's raining. And it's not surprising, not at this point. I mean, I'm 41 years old. This has been going on plenty longer than I've been alive. But it's been going on long enough that I can see the trend. It's still frustrating, though. Especially because I guarantee you there are people out there that are going to friggin' cope and justify this nonsense and say that, well, they need to be able to do it so they can protect us from terrorists because they're doing such a fucking great job of that lately. I'm done.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is I gotta look more into it, I know, what is it, Representative, Massey, he came out and basically, he came out and said, Congress, they're exempt. They're exempt from this rule. They need a warrant. The government needs a warrant to go after them, but not the American people. So, I mean, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I don't care. Honestly, I could care less. Like if you're voting for, Biden again, and you know, you're going that full freaking stupid, but, I don't care what your politics are. We should all be on board with our constitutional rights, and we should be all on board with how bad this is, that the FBI and the government, they no longer need a warrant to spy on American people. Like that should be backed by every single American citizen, hands down, full stop, period, dot. I don't care.
The simple fact that this has managed to piss off the ACLU, who is, contrary to the name of the organization, they have not always been our greatest ally in this fight to maintain, you know, constitutional rights. There have been times where, depending on the issue, they get a little squishy on whether or not Americans should have certain rights. But in this case, they seem aggravated, which is encouraging, but I just don't think it's going to have any effect because, unfortunately, like, I don't know, Andrew, what do you think? Like, 2/3 of our voting populace are basically asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's assuming that a further, like, 5% of them aren't basically voting from beyond the grave, but that's a whole nother discussion. I just don't believe that enough Americans are aware of what's going on behind closed doors in their government to even be aware of this nonsense, to say nothing of whether or not they care enough or educated enough on the subjects to vote these a-holes out of power. I just don't think it's going to happen, man.
Well, it's not. The thing is, though, is it's not. I mean, if you look up, I went to Fox News, I went to CNN, name your mainstream media website, and this whole vote on Friday was not on the top page. Like, it wasn't even, like, it was not talked about. You have to, like, you actually have to know what you're searching for in order to start finding articles. And that's disturbing right there. And so, but the thing is, though, is you have the whole thing with Iran and Israel, which we'll get into shortly. But this whole thing happened on Friday, and all of a sudden, like, all this crap happened with Israel and Iran. So, okay, well, now it's just going to get swept under the rug. No one's going to pay attention to it. And the people are just going to be like, eh, whatever. And if anybody doesn't know about it, they're really not going to know anything about it. So yeah, it's frustrating. I mean, this year being a political year, an election year, I mean, we should be paying attention to this kind of stuff. Like, every single Republican that voted for FISA, like, I know this amendment kind of went down party line, but the fight, like, FISA itself, there was like 86 Republicans voted for it in favor to pass it again. Every single one of them should be out of a job. Every single one of them should be out of a job. Let alone up against a wall, but that's besides the point. So, you know, it's ridiculous. Like, they are voting to strip rights away from American citizens every single day.
And they're doing it gleefully.
Yeah, they don't care. That's the thing, is they're doing it and they're exempting themselves. I mean, again, it goes back to whole gun control stuff. They're doing it, and then they're like, nah, you don't need the right to protect yourself. But yet, they are surrounded by firearms. They are surrounded by guns that we cannot get. Like, that's what's ridiculous, is they're surrounded by that kind of stuff. And, it, like, just like this whole, just like this, the FISA, it does not apply to them. Which it should. They should be the first ones it applies to.
Yeah, and call it what it is, their protective details can go places with firearms that would land you and me in federal penitentiary for 10 years.
Well, yeah. Right.
But, so you mentioned Iran and Israel. Iran's been misbehaving.
Yeah, if you haven't been living, if you've been under a rock, basically yesterday, in the last 24 hours.
Yeah,
I mean, this is Iran hot. Iran launched like around 300 drones and missiles into Israel. From what I've heard and read, roughly 99% of missiles and drones were stopped by the Iron Dome and by UK. I believe the UK had some birds in the air that shot down some stuff. The US kind of helped.
I think the country of Jordan also intercepted some that had drifted into their airspace.
Yeah, it's got to make them happy.
Well, but I mean, if you look at the geography, like, it's not hard to end up in Jordanian airspace from Iran going to Israel. Like, you would have to make a concerted effort to go around Jordan, put it that way. Yeah. So it's one of those weird situations where it's like, I'm sure the Iranians aren't happy about some of their drones being intercepted, but Jordan has a right to say you can't fling shit through our airspace and potentially endanger our people because you're having a tiff with Israel.
Yeah, and yeah, that's the thing is, but yeah, so basically they said it was retaliation for Israel striking a place in Syria, and that killed two top generals, Iranian generals, or someone that they considered high up. But I mean, Iran has been proven to, they are training terrorists, and they're funding terrorism. So, not saying that the United States is not, our government in general, but, you know, that's the thing is, and so, yeah, they launched, today. I was actually getting ready to go golfing today, and I was watching, I was drinking a good old whiskey and Coke, watching the news in the golf course, waiting for some friends to show up. And Israel, they had a press conference, and basically they said, yeah, we won't strike now, but we will choose the timing of it. So expect to strike back from Israel. And honestly, I mean, we're on the doorsteps of World War III, really, because Russia has come out saying, well, we'll defend Iran. China's doing their whole thing with Taiwan, and I'm sure they'll jump in too. And, you know, granted, the United States has come out and said, hey, Israel, knock it off. We're not going to back you, kind of thing. So we'll see where that goes. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. But the home front here in the United States, I mean, we got to pay attention to this kind of stuff because there's a lot of Iranians, and there's a lot of Iranian sympathizers here in the United States. I mean, you see what's going on with Palestine. So, yeah, expect disruptions here on the home front. And this kind of goes into caring and making sure your preps on the home front are up to par. You have food set aside, you have water, your firearms and everything like that. So, because honestly, right now is the best time. I mean, if you don't prep today, then you'll be not ready for tomorrow, whatever tomorrow brings. But if you start today, you'll be prepped. That's one more day that you're ready for something that happens. I don't care what you get. If you go buy a bag of rice, that's more rice. That's a bag of rice more than what you had yesterday. But just, I can't see how people are blind to this kind of stuff and what they're doing and what they're overlooking and everything. So it's scary. I mean, it really is. But having a plan will help ease someone's mind.
I think the part of all this that, because it's phenomenally easy to kind of write off this conflict as it's half a world away, it's not our problem, you know, like, and even I tend to fall into the libertarian, you know, pit of foreign policy is not my concern, we need to be worried about the home front. And I think there's merit to that to a degree. But what worries me is that little pocket of the world we're talking about right now, you have such tension that some of these rivalries between countries go back half a century or more. Some of these are, you know, religious rivalries, and those have been going on for 1,000 years and will go on for 1,000 more unless the world ends. And the part of this that concerns me is that, like, sooner or later, someone is going to do something crazy, and it's either going to happen now or it's going to happen at some point in the future. But once that starts, it's going to it could potentially be exactly what happened in World War One, because like World War One, World War Two were kind of historically speaking, I think were fairly different. Like World War Two, you had a psychopath who was, you know, just looking to take over Europe, and it was very easy to unite all these other countries against him. World War One, on the other hand, was caused because two tiny little nations that no one otherwise would give a shit about got into a tiff with each other because one terrorist from one nation murdered the dignitary of another, and then those two were at war. But then this one brought all their buddies and allies, and this one brought all their buddies and allies, and that kept propagating back and forth until you wind up in a situation where the whole frickin' world is at war with each other because of this complex spider web of alliances. And that's the part of this that makes me a little nervous. Yes, Joe, Archduke Ferdinand. If we end up in a situation where, like, these countries back Israel and these countries back Iran, and then Iran accidentally pisses off Jordan by shooting missiles or drones into it, and now you've got Jordan wants to get in on the fight and their allies come with them, you end up in another situation where these complex spider webs of alliances could ignite a very, very large conflict very, very quickly. And part of this is also just based on the fact that, like, I don't honestly believe Russia has a lot of love for the Iranians. I just don't see it. You know, like, Putin has demonstrated that he's a populist, he's very ethnocentric. And that none of that's a bad thing. It's a foreign diverse domestic policy decision. But, like, I don't think he gives a damn about Iran or Iranians. I think for him, this is an opportunity to elevate his country on the world stage and prove that, you know, America does not have the foreign influence they once did. And that is his only play here. But that still potentially means we wind up drugged into another proxy war against Russia that we have to fund to the tune of tens or hundreds of billions of dollars at a time when our inflation is running away from us. I don't know. Do you watch the stock? Do you watch, like, the stock market by any chance, Andrew? The stock tickers?
No.
So I do just because it's the industry I'm in, and I like to kind of keep abreast of things. But very recently, after, like, record growth for the last year, those stocks have all ticked over, almost all of them. And a lot of it is being driven by this by, you know, what's going on in the Middle East, the concerns around that. So I don't know, at a moment in time when we in America have so many hazards that are besieging middle class America, the fact that we could potentially be drugged into a serious kinetic conflict, or even just an economic conflict with other nations again, after we've already gotten our, after we've already funded the Ukraine war out of our own pocket, and we still have China taking over Taiwan lingering in the distance. I'm concerned. There's nothing you or I can do about this. It just, it feels as though this would be a wonderful opportunity for somebody with some foreign policy chops to like come in and try to talk sense to everybody in the room, but I just don't think that's going to happen. I think what we have here is we have, you know, very old, deep-seated rivalries that have been, that were ignited by the Hamas terrorist attacks against Israel. And I don't know enough of what's really been happening on the ground to pass judgment over Israel's response to all that. I don't know enough, so I'm going to keep out of it because I don't know. I know that I've heard serious allegations of human rights violations, and I've heard basically that it's completely overblown. And my experience of, you know, calling CNN the Communist News Network, because they sure love during the Iraq and Afghanistan wars to stretch the truth to make a story, we'll say. That's a polite way of saying they lie through their teeth about U.S. service members and what was being done on the ground. But I don't know, man. Like, I see a conflict that could boil over very quickly. And if it does... Yeah. It's going, and here's the thing of it. Let's say by some miracle, you and me and our country stay out of that conflict. Do you know where the Middle East is situated relative to international shipping lanes? A big conflict in that area is going to severely impact the global shipping lanes, and therefore could hugely impact the global supply chains in a way that we haven't seen since COVID. And if people thought that was bad, this could be worse. This could be more longstanding. I mean, think about what happened during World War I and World War II. And that was at a time when our country was nowhere near as dependent upon foreign imports for basic things. Like, we manufacture our own stuff right here at home. That's not the case anymore. You shut down those international shipping lanes, and things are going to get really, really squirrely really fast around here. Things like being able to, you know, Amazon Prime, one click and it shows up on your door the next day, that's going to be a thing of the past. Grocery stores overflowing with food are going to be a thing of the past too, because most of that ain't made around here either. I don't know. I mean, do you think I'm overreacting? Or the idea of a large-scale conflict in that area worries the hell out of me from a lot of directions.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the worrying about it. I mean, there's not really much we can worry about because it's not really anything we have control over besides trying to vote out the a-holes that are trying to pull us into stuff. But no, I mean, all we can do is just be ready here, have food and stuff set aside to where, I mean, if things go bad and I don't know, just figure out what's going on because it's heading that way. To a major conflict of some kind. Over the last probably 10 years, it's been boiling that way. It's just one of those things where it's like someone turns the heat up and it kind of simmers, it boils up, and then the heat goes down and it kind of simmers. And, you know, it every day, every time it happens, it gets worse and worse and worse, and eventually it's going to boil over. And what that's going to look like, I have no idea, since we have multiple nuclear powers that are in the mix of it. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, especially, I mean, and honestly, Israel, if you look at it, Israel's not going to just forget. They're not going to roll over and just take the attack. There's something is going to happen. So what that is, I have no idea, but, we just need to sit back and I guess sit back, grab our popcorn and wait for some stuff to happen and see what does happen. And then just basically, hey, okay, let's prepare for this and let's move on this way. I don't know. I mean, it's spicy, but the biggest thing is keep your ear to the ground and you know, have that group of friends that you can rely on and see what happens, because It's going to happen. It's going to be within, I predict, if it was not this year, it's going to be within the next few years that something's going to boil over. This year, I think it's just definitely, it's an election year, so something's going to happen.
Mm. So now we get to round out with some good news. Our boy D Hog got his heart broken.
Not only did it get broken, I think he got ripped out and stomped on. If anybody does not know who David Hogg is,
your ignorance is a gift.
Look him up, and he's a D-bag that he needs to be. He really needs to be silenced in some way. I'm wondering where his money's coming from. You know, he's getting backed by probably Soros and a bunch of these anti-gun individuals and groups and stuff like that. So, anyway, he had a town hall. He had like a meeting at a college, if I remember right. And we had people could ask him questions, and he could answer how he wanted to answer. One question in general was from a Chinese immigrant who, she fled communism, and she basically came out and she threw it right on his face, and just said, "Hey, you know, can you guarantee me that our government is not going to go tyrannical and try to kill thousands and hundreds of thousands of people like the Communist Party did?" The amount of people that the Chinese government killed, they disarmed them, killed them, and basically swept them under the rug. And I mean, it's history. We all know about it, but they can't do nothing about it now. I mean, look at it from around the world. It's a lot of governments, pretty much. I mean, every government in the past has disarmed the people and then slaughtered the people. And who, you know, it's gotten to that point. So yeah, it's interesting. He also got, I don't know the guy's name. There was another guy though that questioned and basically asked him, saying, "Hey, if you agree with this, are you going to be the first man in the stack that comes through my door?" And yeah, Hogg was kind of like, "I don't know."
Yeah, well, and this particular Chinese immigrant is Lily Tang Williams, who is running for U.S. House seat. So mm-hmm. She first popped onto my radar when she did when she first announced her candidacy, and she was on Tim Pool's show, Timcast. And, you know, her experiences having basically escaped communism and the CCP and, you know, Maoist China is pretty compelling. Like, if anybody would like to, I encourage you to go hunt through the YouTubes and find that interview with her. But her stories are very compelling, and she is very outspoken, visceral, you know, pro Second Amendment. We cannot give up our guns. And this is literally the crux. This is the crux of her argument. And this has been the crux of so many Second Amendment, you know, so many Second Amendment advocates' argument has always been that the Second Amendment and the right to keep and bear arms was instituted first and foremost as a check against our government's power, because you cannot oppress an armed populace. It's not possible. Because if you say something that that enough of the people are upset about and they say no, then you have to kick hundreds of thousands or millions of doors in to enforce your will, and they're not going to do that. And this lady's, you know, kind of assertion is, if you cannot guarantee that this government will never indulge in tyranny, then there is no debate about whether or not we're going to give up our guns. We're not giving them up, because we know from history that's what always happens. Every government that has stripped arms from its people has turned around and either forced people into prison camps or murdered them outright. And if that sounds like conspiracy talk, I'm just telling you what history has told me. You can argue that it'll never happen again, but you can't argue it hadn't happened like 8 times in the past, because it has. So, this is one of those situations where, like, you know, I don't even want to watch the rest of the debate. I don't care what David Hogg has to say. He's a freaking stooge and he's a kid. And I am not willing or prepared to be told or chastised by a 98-pound weakling whether or not what I need to defend my family. Not going to happen. I don't care to have the debate with anybody because it's not a debate. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and y'all are all going to get over yourselves. But this little snot in particular aggravates me because he launched his career as a mouthpiece for gun control on the freaking graves and the blood of classmates of his when he was at a school shooting that happened. And that I find particularly distasteful. So you're right, Andrew. I don't know where his money's coming from, but obviously some group or some person is propping him up. I keep hoping for the day when this little knucklehead just disappears from public eye. Like, I don't know if I want him dead. That's a little spicy. My Christian heart won't let me quite go there, but I definitely want him to just disappear into the bowels of the internet and never be heard from again. I'm sick and tired of him having a platform to screech and cry about the evils of everybody being armed, when the truth of the matter is I've got history on my side, and history has proven that when the government disarms people, people frickin' die. And even though I hate to point it out, I keep having to do it because people keep quoting statistics, and statistics are a funny thing because statistics don't lie, but statisticians do very often. If you take suicide and gang-related shootings out of those equations for gun violence, you find a really interesting thing that the number of people that are legitimately being killed via homicide that isn't gang-related or drug-related, and it wasn't a suicide, is so freaking paltry, it's ridiculous. It is a statistical anomaly. It doesn't mean it's not a personal tragedy when it happens, but it does mean that it's not a really good argument to eviscerate the constitutional rights of millions of people because of it. I mean, this is like saying, you know, this is like saying I had to buy a bottle of touch-up paint for my car today because I got a rock chip, so I'm just going to pay $20,000 and have the whole thing repainted. It just, the math doesn't math, man. The argument argument doesn't make any sense. Hell, if we want to have a rational discussion about how to reduce gun violence in this country, we should probably start by friggin' asking ourselves why the hell we can't get violent crime under control. Why we can't get the drug trade eradicated. Why we can't deal with organized crime, because the FBI is too damn busy conducting warrantless searches of people via FISA instead of doing their frickin' jobs and going after gangs, because that is organized crime. Just saying. Yes, Fraggle, we're live on a Sunday because, you know, when you and your co-host have disparate schedules, you have to kind of figure it out. And yes, my right doesn't end where your fears begin. My rights don't care about your feelings either. I'm still waiting to live in the America where I can have like a Belfast machine gun for home defense. I mean, if anything, yeah. maybe me and a bunch of my neighbors could go in a couple different ways on one. It'd be cool for the neighborhood watch to have one.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, it's a lot's going on. Yeah, it's crazy. I don't even know.
But I mean, as much as is going on in the world, and as much nonsense going on, you know, the things I keep telling people is the things that I continue to do myself. Like, what were you notorious for telling me all for all those years, Andrew? It's 3-foot world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so within Phil's Venn diagram of crap, there's this big old circle of stuff that worries me, and then there's this big old circle of stuff that I can actually do something about. And where those two circles overlap, that's where I focus. So I don't worry about, oh, if the supply chain shuts down, we won't be able to get avocados from Central America. I just think to myself, I need to figure out a way to stock the stuff I need so that when we can't get it, I still have it. You know, like we went to the grocery store today. And I was literally like picking up a couple extra boxes of stuff because, you know, we've got some on the shelf. I want to put some back in overflow. And my daughter literally told me, she said, but Dad, we already have like 3 of those on the shelf. And I gave her this look like, whose child are you? Like, do you not know who your father is? We have 3 on the shelf. We should have 6. I bought 5 more pounds of ground beef, broke it up, and put it in the freezer. Why? Because, you know, like, the half of the chest freezer that's full of ground beef is starting to worry me a little bit. I need to add to it. I'm watching for a sale so I can load it up again. But I don't know, guys. Like, the lessons here, the takeaways are very simple. The things you can, the things you have control over, are the things you need to focus on. And while I think it is worth, like, being aware of what's going on internationally, I don't think it's worth the average person getting really wound up about it, because there's just nothing we can do about that. I can't influence foreign policy, but I would like to know that that's going on so that it's kind of my impetus to buckle down and do more prepping so that we're ready when things pop off.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's interesting stuff, but the biggest thing is just take this and put another bucket of food downstairs and just, you know, prepare for whatever's coming.
Well, I don't suppose we'll belabor the point. It is a Sunday afternoon, and I know that you and I both have things to be off handling, but, you know, I thought that this was worthwhile to talk about. I mean, watching David Hogg get raked over the coals is always just pure entertainment to me, and I think that it's very important that we be aware of what our own government is doing. And as far as, like, Iran versus Israel, the only reason I care is because of the impact that could have on international shipping lanes and the fact that our government is almost sure to be funding one or both sides of that war, which is going to make inflation go to the frickin' moon. So anyway, anything else before we head out?
Nope.
Cool. Short and sweet. Keep your head down. Keep prepping. Keep paying attention. Come to Prepper Camp in September. If you don't, you'll regret it. And if you come, you better find us, because we won't be hard to find. Matter of fact, but going out the door, bye, everybody.
Bye.